Good morning, Newville. I'll be reading scripture verses from the back of the devotional, and the verses that I'm reading will be from Daniel chapter 9, and they will be excerpts from verses 1 to 19. Daniel's prayer. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, a Mede by birth, who was ruler over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the books, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, that the number of years for the desolation of Jerusalem would be 70. So I turned my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and petitions with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, "Ah, Lord, the great and awe-inspiring God, who keeps his gracious covenant with those who love him and keep his commands. Lord, righteousness belongs to you. Compassion and forgiveness belongs to the Lord our God. Now, Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made your name renowned as it is this day. Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, Lord, hear. Lord, forgive. Lord, listen and act. My God, for your own sake, do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name." From Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And from the inside of your devotional, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. And may God add his blessing to that reading.
So we're continuing today our series on prayer. One of my favorite movies, Godfather. And you can say, well, Tim, you really shouldn't be talking about that movie because it glorifies crime. Well, actually, The Godfather doesn't glorify crime. The Godfather by Mario Puzo shows the destruction of sin and crime and what happens to a family and what happens to a society when that kind of sin creeps in. So anyway, in that movie, in the opening scene, one of the opening scenes there, Vito Corleone is in his study. He's the Godfather. And he's in there with his adopted son, Tom Hagen. And Tom Hagen is Vito Corleone's advisor, and he's a lawyer. And it's the occasion is Vito Corleone's, the Godfather's daughter, is being married. They're having a wedding celebration there at the estate. And while Vito, the Godfather, is in his study with Tom Hagen, his adopted son, all of a sudden they hear a big commotion outside amongst the guests. And Tom Hagen, Vito Corleone says, "What's going on?" And Tom Hagen looks outside and he says, "Johnny Fontaine is coming." Well, Johnny Fontaine in the movie is a singer. He's an actor. He's a famous movie star kind of person. And he's showing up at this wedding of Vito Corleone's daughter. And Tom Hagen looks out and he says, "It's Johnny Fontaine." And then he says to the Godfather, "I'll bet he's in trouble. And I'll bet he needs something from you. It's the only reason that he's coming to you. He's coming to you because he has a problem. He's coming to you because he has a request." Do you do Johnny Fontaine praying? In other words, is your praying to God always, ever, and always just things that you want fixed? The petitions that you have or requests that you have. You see, the Daniel prayer teaches us many things about prayer. It has taught me many things about prayer. The Daniel prayer has been powerful in my life. I actually read a book about the Daniel prayer by Ann Graham Lotz, Billy Graham's daughter. And that book is the first resource that turned me on to to the topic of prayer and how important and powerful it is in our lives. And it has been tremendously powerful in my life. I have committed to practicing the Daniel prayer every day. And I have seen and I have been able to access God's power in and through this commitment, this discipline that I do. Now, I don't know how this series is hitting you or if it is affecting your prayer time, if it is causing you to be more serious about your praying. But I can share with you and assure you that if you do this and if you make this a commitment and if you practice what we've learned in the Daniel prayer, you will see God work. You'll see him work in your life. And the Daniel prayer has taught us up to this point several things. First of all, it's taught us the mechanics of prayer. The mechanics that you set aside a particular time every day. You set that aside and nothing interferes in that time. You're going to go meet with God. The second thing that is taught us mechanically is that you have a specific place where you go to pray. And that's where you meet God. Thirdly, it's taught us that there's a particular posture that Daniel assumed when he prayed, that he was on his knees because he's going before the sovereign king of the universe. And so even the posture that we assume, I think, is important in praying. Persistence in prayer. That again, you make it something that you do regularly. And then lastly is passion. That you come to God, the Daniel prayer is a prayer that it comes from your soul. It comes from the deepest recesses of your heart. Things that are in your life and things that are interfering with your functioning in life and that you have nowhere else to go, that you have such... You're practicing a fast. In other words, you have no other help. That's the Daniel prayer mechanics. Are you doing that? Rhetorically, I'm asking you that. I encourage you, absolutely encourage you to practice the Daniel prayer and the mechanics of the Daniel prayer. You will find it tremendously rewarding. The second thing the Daniel prayer has taught us is the motivation to pray. And the short answer is, you will be motivated to pray because you believe the promises of God. You're motivated because you know that God has promised certain things, and if you believe those promises, and if you know that prayer is the avenue or the way that God has ordained for us to come in contact with him, and you believe that he's going to reward those who approach him, like the Hebrews verse says, those who approach God must believe that he exists and must also believe that he is going to reward those who approach him. So the motivation to pray is that you believe that God is going to respond to your praying. And lastly, thirdly, what it taught us is what results can you expect from praying? And the Daniel prayer teaches us that there's two results that you can expect when you pray. Every time you pray, that prayer will be answered every single time you pray because you're accessing God and you will experience the results of your prayer. You'll see the power of God, and secondly, you will experience the power of a relationship with God, the power of your relationship with God. And I said last week that most often we think of prayer as a discipline to be practiced so that we access the power of God to change something in our lives, right? That's what I think we most often think of praying. But we less often think of praying as a discipline to be practiced to access the power of God to change us. So those are the two results that you can expect when you pray. You're going to see the power of God, and you're going to see something, circumstances or situations are going to be impacted and changed by God. Or secondly, you will change. You will change because prayer, not Johnny Fontaine type praying, which I'm going to explain in more detail, but praying with God so that a relationship between you and God is strengthened. And that changes us. Because we cannot have an intimate, immediate, and direct relationship with God and not be changed. And praying in a certain way does build that kind of relationship. Have you ever had communication or conversations with somebody and that person is talking at you instead of with you? You know what I mean? You could be a piece of furniture and they're just talking at you. Well, that's different than communicating, isn't it? See, prayer is communication with God. Prayer is a conversation with God. Prayer is listening to God, as well as just talking at God. A Johnny Fontaine-type prayer is where we just come and we talk at God. Now, it has been my experience that that's not really relationship building with God. That's been my experience. And in our human relationships, if someone talks at us, that doesn't really build a relationship, does it? They might get their point across to you, but the point of prayer is that we build a powerful relationship with God, as well as making our requests known and making petitions known. It all goes together. So, what the Holy Spirit has in The Holy Spirit has dropped this concept into my heart about, well, how to pray. Do you wonder about that? I mean, is there a certain way to pray? I mean, what do you say when you pray? What is this communication with God like? I want to say at the outset that I summarily reject any and all formulaic praying techniques designed to get God to respond to your prayer. Do you all understand? Are you all tracking what I just said? I reject any and all prayer techniques and books written on prayer techniques so that basically you get God to do what you want. Now, I reject that. Why? Scripture doesn't back that up. David, in his psalm, he says that a broken and contrite heart, God, you will not ignore. Saying to God many times, help me, is a prayer. I'm thinking of the disciples on the boat with Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. Remember, Jesus is asleep, and the storm comes, and the disciples are distraught, and they simply cry out to Jesus. They say, basically, storm, we're going to die. That's a prayer. There are no formulas that we need to follow. Now, get the nuance here. No formulas that you need to follow to have God hear you. But, I do embrace the idea that there is a way to pray that facilitates our response to prayer. Now, right about now, I think maybe I hooked you. I think maybe I got your attention. There's no way to pray that will facilitate God's response. There's no formula. But there is a way to pray that will facilitate your response to your prayer. What are you talking about, Tim? I mean, prayer is about Johnny Fontaine praying. Prayer is about just giving God the grocery list, give God the shopping list, and then step back and he's supposed to act. Here's my argument about prayer. Here's the argument that I want to broach today and begin on. Biblical prayer, as outlined in Scripture, biblical prayer as ordained by God, biblical prayer as taught by our Lord Jesus, ever and always was intended to be directed at us as much as directed at God. Tracking? This is big. When you pray in a particular way, you respond to your own prayer. Let's go through that. Interested in this? Yeah, me too. I've seen things. I've seen mighty powerful things. I've seen my response to praying, my response to my praying. Let's look at Daniel's prayer. Just excerpts from it that Teresa read. So, on the back of your devotional there, you see the first three verses of Daniel chapter 9. Now, for Daniel, there are some things in his life that have power. There are some things in his life that are exerting power. They've interfered with him. There is chaos and there is desolation. So what does he do? What's the first thing that we do, according to the Daniel prayer, when things in our lives are exerting a negative power against us or pushing against us? I got plenty of them. Well, let's see what Daniel, let's listen to Daniel. I, Daniel, verse 2, chapter 9, understood from the books, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, the prophet, that the number of years for the desolation of Jerusalem would be 70. What's the first thing Daniel does? Scripture. He goes to Scripture. There's chaos, there's desolation, and those things are exerting a power over him. Now, you've got something that is exerting a power over you today. Some circumstance, some situation. And what does Daniel do? He goes to this book and he discovers something. He discovered that Scripture taught him that there is one who is more powerful than his situation and his circumstances. Now, that is foundational to the Daniel prayer. And so what does he do? So, verse 3, look what he does. What does Scripture make him do? He turns his attention elsewhere. He turns his attention to something else. He turns his attention to something that the Scripture has taught him is more powerful than the things that are pushing against him. So Daniel says, I learned from Scripture that my situation was pretty bleak. I learned from Scripture that even though I was in desolation, even though that I was in chaos, even though that everything had been taken from me, even though those things had a tremendous power pushing against me, I learned from Scripture that there was something, there was someone who was even more powerful than the stuff that he was dealing with. Tracking? And what does it do? What does it make him do? He turns his attention to something else. His focus changed. Now watch this. His focus changed from the power of those things, and those things have a power. But his focus changed from the power of those things to the power of God. Scripture changes our focus. Scripture shows us no matter what, there is something else more powerful, someone else more powerful than whatever it is that is exerting a power in your life. You know, I gotta say, that's tremendously profound. I just have to share with you what is held here in this is life-changing. You got things that are exerting a power in your life. I don't know what it is. Health, finances, relationships, vocation, something. Uncertainty, something is reaching into your life every single day and pushing against you with its power. Daniel can't change his circumstances. Daniel can't change his situation. But he can change what he focuses on. You see this? Scripture changes our focus and we turn to the one who has the most power. Daniel read in the books that yes, there's desolation, yes, there's chaos, but Daniel, there's someone who has more power than the things that you're presently dealing with. So Daniel immediately turns his attention to that which has more power. I was involved in a years ago, so that you understand this. There was an injury, and it was at an athletic event. It was one of the spectators were injured. And they were off in one of the rooms, and there was someone in there trying to administer help to them. And they were doing a good thing. They were trying to help them. They weren't a professional health caregiver, but they were trying to help the person that was injured. All right? That injury had a power over that person. Well, this is going to sound like I'm lauding myself, but I'm not. I'm just making a point here about something. So the athletic director came and got me in the stands and said, hey, there's an injury. Can you come and look at this woman? So I went, and I walked into the room. And the minute I walked into the room, the patient turned their attention from the person that was trying to help them to me, because they recognized that I had the juice to take care of what they were dealing with. You see, their attention diverted to me immediately, less on their problem, more on me. If you go in to see a doctor about your health condition, that health condition is dominating you, right? I mean, it's exerting a power against you, isn't it? You can't think of nothing else. It's exerting a tyranny over you. But the minute you plug into a competent physician that you have confidence in and they're credentialed and you know that they know what they're doing, what does your focus shift to? Your focus shifts to the power of that professional, that physician. And all at once, all of a sudden, The health condition that used to be dogging your steps with worry and anxiety and exerting a power against you, if you simply shift your focus to the thing that has more power than that, what does it do for you? I have patients come in all the time. I mean, they're just dominated by something. Dominated. They're orienting their life around this thing that has a power over them. And I can see it on their face. And they come in to see me. And if I give them a reasonable answer, if I act like I know how to take care of this, that I have the power to take care of this, I can see the shift in their face. I can see the shift in their attitude. And it changes how they live. They no longer orient themselves around that thing that is exerting a power on them. Stop orienting your life around those things that have a power. Is this making sense? Scripture changes our focus. Scripture points to the one who has more power than whatever it is that you are presently dealing with, because we can't change our circumstances and we can't change our situation, but we can change what we focus on. So what does that do for us practically? Well, look what Daniel, on the back of your devotional, what does Daniel do? When you're praying, listen to this. When you're praying, stop focusing, even in your prayer, on those things. Try that on. Because many times, my experience, if even in my prayer, if my prayer is strictly a Johnny Fontaine prayer, and I'm doing nothing but focusing on the things that are bothering me, if I'm doing nothing in my prayer but focusing on the power of those things in my life, I don't leave that prayer time with any kind of peace. Because what you think about expands. Look what Daniel does in his praying. Look at the back of your devotional. These are the excerpts that Teresa read to us this morning. Verse 4, he says, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. Look what Daniel does. Ah, Lord, the great and awe-inspiring God who keeps his gracious covenant with those who love him and keep his commands. Verse 7, Lord, righteousness belongs to you. Verse 9, compassion and forgiveness belong to the Lord our God. Verse 15, now, Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made your name renowned as it is today. Verse 16, Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts. Verse 19, he sums it up. Lord, hear. Lord, forgive. Lord, listen. And Lord, act. My God, for your own sake, do not delay. For your city and your people are called by your name. You know what Daniel's doing here? He's reviewing the credentials of God. Do that. You'll discover something. Review the credentials of the one you're speaking to while you're praying. I have made this a habit. I review the attributes of God in my prayer time. And then the things that seemed so powerful seem a lot less powerful. Does this make sense? Daniel reviews. This is who God is. This is what he's like. This is what he does. This is what he can do. What will happen for you if you do this? As a result of Daniel reviewing the attributes of God, remembering the attributes of God, and, by the way, you learn about the attributes of God one place. There's one place you learn about the attributes of God, and that is Scripture. Your praying must be founded in Scripture, else your prayers can degenerate into concentrating solely on the power of the things that you're concerned about. Tracking? This is good. I'm going to invite you to do this. It's life-changing. So, as a result of this, in your life, in Daniel's life, and in my life, the things that are baying for your attention, the hounds of Satan, that are baying for your attention and baying to exert control and power over your life, those things, the hounds of hell, that are conniving with and using the things and the power of those things to reign in your life and reign in my life as anxiety and depression and hopelessness and despair. When exposed to Scripture, actually become the catalyst for an immediate, intimate, and direct relationship between you and God. Wow. What did he just say? This is Romans 8:28. All things turn to the good of those who love God. The things in your life, right now, think of the things in your life that have a power. And they're baying for your attention. Do you know what I mean by that? I mean, you hear them constantly. Like the hounds out in the woods. You know, where we live, we hear the hounds baying when they're coon hunting down there in the woods. And it's just like a backdrop noise. And you've got this in your life. There's something that is baying for your attention, baying for power in your life. And you have a choice. And prayer gives us this choice. Those things can either, by conniving with Satan and Satan using those things can reign in your life and they can immobilize you with anxiety and depression and despair and hopelessness. They can absolutely immobilize you. But Scripture is kryptonite to these things. Boy, Tim, would you stop it with the movie? Scripture becomes kryptonite to these things. Because what Scripture does and what Scripture did for Daniel is it shows us how pathetic the power of those things is compared to the power of a sovereign, all-powerful God. That's kryptonite to them. And God even goes one step farther than that. He makes those things turn to the things that drive you into an immediate, intimate, and direct relationship with Him. Do we serve a good God? Do we serve a powerful God? You see what He did for Daniel? He took the things in Daniel's life that Daniel hated, that Daniel begged God, that drove Daniel to his knees with wet eyes and a broken heart. God took those things and turned them into a relationship builder between God and Daniel. What are you focusing on when you pray? Review the credentials of God in your praying, and you'll review the credentials of God by reading this book. Well, those things aren't forgotten. Are you meaning, Tim, I can't bring these petitions to God? I can't bring my concerns to God that I can't? No. These things are not forgotten. You still hear the baying. The hounds are there. And we do bring them to God as petitions. And Daniel does. If you read the Daniel prayer, he reviews the credentials of God, and sprinkled in among that are his requests for the things that are bothering him, for the things that have a power in his life. But you see what Scripture does? Scripture pits the power of those things against the power of God. Please do that. My wife talks about, I'm sorry, honey, I have to quote you like every week. So my wife in her work talks about power struggles. People get into power struggles. See, you're in a power struggle. You're like caught between a power struggle, between the things, the chaos and the confusion and the desolation and the broken plans, the broken dreams, the ill health, the ill finances, bad relationships. You're caught in a power struggle between the power that they have, and they do have a power. I'm not minimizing that. Between the power that they have, and then on the other side is the power that Scripture says God has. And you are caught in this power struggle because they both want to exert influence in your life. They both want you to think a particular way. Both of those powers want to reign in your life, and you're caught in the power struggle. Scripture pits the power of the things that are bothering you against the power of a sovereign God. And every single time, if you concentrate on what God has done, what he's capable of doing, what he has done in Scripture, every single time, the power of those things will fade. Yeah? Yeah? Good? Life-changing? Yeah, it is. Something's dogging your steps. Something is exerting a power on you. Something affects how you relate to other people. Something's baying for your attention. And it can be overwhelming. And you can say, like the disciples on the sinking ship, we're sinking. It's over. And what happened to them? They changed their focus to the one who had the power over the wind and the waves. Even when the disciples come to Jesus and they say, teach us how to pray, what's the thing he says? What does he say? Focus on God first. Our Father in the heavenly realm, your name be honored as holy, your kingdom come and your will be done. See, Jesus is saying to us, focus on God. Don't focus on your problems. Don't talk at God. Communicate with him. Scripture changes our focus. Our prayers express our focus. And our thinking reflects our focus. You want to think better? It's related to how you pray. Scripture changes our focus. Your prayer expresses what you're focusing on. And your thinking will change. Jesus says, as you think, so will you be. We go to prayer. We practice the mechanics. We pray because we believe God will reward us. And the results will be the power of God and the power of the relationship. And now when you pray today and this week, to now when you pray, from reading Scripture and finding out who it is you're praying to, you will review the credentials while you're praying. and you will see a tremendous change in your life. Prayer, our prayer, was always directed at us as much as directed at God. Let's close. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you would honor us and bless these words. Amen.